Primary elections look possible in many statewide and congressional races in Wisconsin, and we'll discuss how these contests are shaping up and what's at stake. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes after 7 on this Thursday, June 5th. We decided to start a new regular segment every week at this time where we will always discuss the top issues and developments in election 2014. We are calling it On the Campaign Trail. And our first edition comes as candidates had to file their nomination papers this week with enough signatures in order to get on the ballot. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is with us to highlight what we will likely be seeing in the voting booth for the August primaries. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So, any surprises with the nomination papers that had to be filed this week?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say there were a few surprises. You know, this is kind of a boring and procedural step, and yet every cycle there's something that happens. And this year, I think the big something that was a surprise was that you have former state senator Gary George filing to run for Congress to challenge sitting Congresswoman Gwen Moore in the 4th Congressional District in Milwaukee. So that would be a Democratic primary. And
See that coming.
Did not see that coming, no. And Gary George is somebody who is very powerful in state government and, left it in a bad way. I mean, he was found guilty of taking kickbacks while in office before he was charged, before he was, I guess, convicted of that. He was recalled from office. And he served prison time and has a felony on his record.
Now, can a felon serve as a member of Congress?
Yes, yes. And in fact, it's the only office that he could run for. So if Gary George wanted to mount a political comeback, he couldn't say, you know, I'm going to start from the assembly. I'm going to work my way back up.
Because state law says no.
State law says you can't be a felon. But there's no such prohibition in the U.S. Constitution, which is where we have our, you know, job qualifications to be a member of Congress. And so Gary George is absolutely able to run for Congress and, even against a sitting incumbent like Gwen Moore.
Do we know why he's running? Just because he wants to make a comeback and this is the only office he could run for? Or does he have a problem with Gwen Moore's representation?
Yeah, he hasn't really gotten into a problem with Gwen Moore just yet. And, when our reporter Chuck Kornbach reached out to him to talk about his candidacy this week, he said, you know, he was just swamped. And so he didn't do an interview. So we'll see what the issue is there. It's the question that everybody was asking right away, like, you know, what's going on here? So we just haven't heard yet, what his issues might be or where he might think she's vulnerable. So speculating is, we'll have plenty of time to actually find out.
Well, I wanted to go into some of the statewide offices, but since we're talking about Congress, anything interesting in the 6th Congressional District, the race to take over for Republican Congressman Tom Petri, who said he would not run for re-election?
Yeah, there weren't surprises in that district in terms of who filed or who didn't file. I think that the candidates who said they were going to be on there got on there, and so you are going to have a contested Republican primary over there between Glenn Grothman, current state senator, Joe Lybum, who has to leave the state Senate to run for Congress because his term is up this year, and Dewey Strobel, who is leaving the state assembly to run for Congress. So, that's a big primary over there, and one where a lot of Republicans are going to be forced to take sides. And Democrats have a candidate over there, Mark Harris, a Winnebago County executive who toyed with the run for governor. But in that district, because of redistricting, and even before redistricting, but that district by the numbers is, a Republican favorite.
Are there any other primaries that will be following for Congress?
For Congress, I think that's far and away the big one. There's an interesting, I don't expect it to affect the outcome or anything, but we have a congressman, Paul Ryan, of course, in the 1st Congressional District, and there is a Jeremy Ryan who filed to run against him. That'd be Jeremy Ryan, frequent protester at the Capitol. Same last name. Same last name.
Did he do that on purpose?
Filed to run as a Republican, so that might confuse people, but probably not. I mean, Paul Ryan. The first name has some name recognition too.
Wait, I missed that. Jeremy Ryan is running as a Republican.
He filed to run as a Republican. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and all these things have to be petitions to run have to be approved yet finally by the Government Accountability Board. Challenges to the petitions are due today, end of today, and then the board meets next Tuesday to consider challenges.
What kinds of things are usually challenged, Sean?
Well, they're going to have an interesting issue this week because they've got a number of candidates who are taking issue with the way that the board is enforcing a rule where you have to now legibly print your name next to your signature. And these candidates are saying, we're having people's names stricken because they have bad handwriting. The board says that's not the case, and so I think you're going to have a pretty spirited case being made by some of these candidates.
Some candidates who turned in their nomination papers this week, mm-hmm. and had they thought more than the required number, could have signatures taken off for various reasons, and they might not end up on the ballot because they didn't have the number of required signatures that are legal.
Right. Yeah. And that's why you see candidates turn in, well over usually. A candidate with, a big support network will try to turn in well over the required number of signatures because you don't know what's going to happen when you get those turned in. And your opponent is going to probably challenge them if you're close to that threshold.
Speaking of being close to the threshold, I read that, and I think I heard it in your story, that Democratic candidate for governor, State Representative Brett Halsey, who kind of late in the game said he would also run as a Democrat for governor, I guess it would be against Mary Burke, he turned in 2,300 signatures and the requirement was 2,000. So that's not a whole lot more than the requirement, is it?
It's not. And the board certified, I think, about 2,130 signatures. So they struck quite a few right out of the gate. It's not a huge margin for him, but, it may be enough. He acknowledged that he might be challenged, given that he's not exactly pleasing the Democratic Party establishment right now, and so he turned in what he thought was a 300 signature cushion. After the board looked at it, he was still 130 above that threshold. So as of right now, it looks like he's going to be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mary Burke turned in well over that amount?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Mary Burke turned in her signatures the week prior. Governor Walker's campaign turned in their signatures, the day of, but they had a bunch. And so that's the thing with the favored candidates or the candidates who have a big campaign and lots of people going out circulating, we don't end up covering them turning in their signatures because it's an afterthought.
Yeah. Well, all right. So assuming that Brett Halsey's signatures are deemed valid, mm-hmm. this does force a Democratic primary with Mary Burke in August. Are there other Democrats who are going to be on the gubernatorial ballot?
Not Democrats that you've heard of. I believe that the Democrats, the other Democratic names who filed to run, the Government Accountability Board at least was recommending that their nominating petitions be denied. If they thought they had issues that were fixable, they can make that case to the board itself when they meet next Wednesday and say, put me on the board or put me on the ballot. But as of right now, it looks like Mary Burke and Brett Halsey in that primary, and no primary for Governor Walker.
Well, that'll make it easier when we do the candidate forums on Wisconsin Public Radio, which we will be doing. We will here on the Joy Cardine Show and on Central Time in the afternoon be inviting all candidates who are on the ballot for the primary elections to join us and talk with our listeners. Certainly before the primary, sometime in July probably, we'll have these series of candidate forums. So you can stay tuned for that. All a part of our election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio for Election 2014 as we cover the Wisconsin vote. You can, by the way, get more information on all things election-related on our website with Wisconsin Public Television, the wisconsinvote.org website. We will continue on the campaign trail, looking at some of the other races that will be in contention this summer and fall with Sean Johnson. He is our state government reporter. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Is there a race that you are particularly interested in this year? Are you curious about a particular district or office? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you going to be voting in the primary election? Why or why not? This is the Ideas Network. Today on the campaign trail, we are talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about the primary elections that look possible in many statewide and congressional races, taking a look at some of the noteworthy contests and the issues that may define them, and welcoming your questions and your thoughts on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Okay, so primary for governor on the Democratic side. What about the state's other constitutional offices, Sean?
Yeah, and the state's other constitutional offices, aside from attorney general, don't do all that much, but you do have a lot of interest in them. So we'll start with the attorney general's race, though. You have a three-way Democratic primary shaping up there. Susan Happ, Ishmael Ozan, and John Richards all filed enough signatures to get on the ballot here. And so that's going to be a three-way Democratic primary on August 12th for the chance to take on Waukesha County District Attorney Brad Schimmel, the Republican. And this is to fill the seat being left open by Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, who will have held it for 8 years.
There we go. So we're going to have a new attorney general. So that's what's at stake here.
Right, right. And, as you've seen, especially, I guess, during the Walker term, the attorney general is a very important statewide office. I mean, there are decisions there being made about what we're going to defend, what laws we're going to defend, how we're going to do it, what kind of resources we can throw at it. And it's been very prominent.
Yeah, and maybe will there be primaries for the state treasurer and Secretary of State?
And Lieutenant Governor also, okay. It looks like there might be a primary there. John Layman is the Democratic senator who's leaving to run for governor, kind of the presumed candidate there. But Mary Jo Walters, who is a frequent protester at the Capitol, she filed enough signatures to be just above that 2,000 threshold, according to the Government Accountability Board. She's also one of the people who said that the board is striking signatures because people are just printing their name with banned handwriting, basically, and getting struck. So you might hear from her next week. No primary for Republicans there with Rebecca Clayfish, the incumbent. And then the Secretary of State and the Treasurer, which have hardly any duties anymore, have just drawn all sorts of interest, actually, from Republicans in particular. But Secretary of State, you've got Doug La Follette running. Doug La Follette has been Secretary of State since, his first term won in the 70s, and he took a term off and came back. So Doug La Follette always wins with a comfortable margin, even in the Republican wave of 2010. He won. Thanks in part, I think, to that La Follette name, probably thanks in a big part to that La Follette name. And then you've got a couple of Republicans running there. Julian Bradley, is one of them. And then Gary Bies, a current state lawmaker who's stepping down to run for Secretary of State. And then the Treasurer's office, that's being left open. And this is one of those offices that Republicans, like the Secretary of State's office, this is an office that Republicans have talked about eliminating, and most of its duties are gone now, but it's still there. It looks like a Democratic primary between Dave Leeper and David Sartori, and then a Republican primary between Matt Adamczyk, who's a guy who wants to get rid of the Treasurer's office, and Randy Melchert got into the race for Republicans there toward the end. It's been kind of musical chairs over there with Republicans on who's running and who's not. But Melchert does not say, you know, let's get rid of it.
We will talk about some other the legislative offices in a moment. But Greg in Lake Mills has a question about them. So, hi, Greg.
Hi. The question I have is as far as Senator Scott Fitzgerald and Representative Joel Clayfish, are they running? Is there anyone running against them this year?
I know that Senator Fitzgerald has an opponent, and that's just sort of, you know, best practices for the political parties is that you try to field an opponent against a legislative leader from the other side so that you, you know, they can't focus all their energy on running their members' campaigns in, you know, more competitive districts, but they have to spend some time in their own district worrying about their own race. So, yes, Scott Fitzgerald, I know, I saw that he has an opponent. I haven't seen, can't flip through the papers quite quickly enough here to see if Joel Clayfish has one. His district got a tad more competitive in this new map. Actually takes in part of Dane County now, even though Joel Clayfish is, you know, lives in southeast Wisconsin, but yeah. But that'd be still a Republican district by the numbers, as would Fitzgerald's.
Right. And these are Democratic opponents mm-hmm. to Republican incumbents. They are not being challenged in a primary by their own party.
Again, I haven't seen Clayfish. Okay. I doubt it. Fitzgerald is not.
All right. Well, let's talk some about what are going to be some of the, I guess, targeted or key legislative races.
I kick this off with had a chance to talk to all the legislative leaders at this point. And I mean, they offer you a little look at what they're focused on. You know, we can start with Chris Larson, a Democratic Senate leader. I actually talked with him back in May. And Chris Larson says a pretty good chance for Democrats to take back the majority this year.
You know, we had...
Oops. Hold on. That's Dem Assembly. There's...
Yeah, all right. Well, let's try this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a really good chance to be able to take the majority. I think the stars are lining just right for Democrats to be able to win the three seats that we need in order to shift the balance and make sure that there is... check and balance in the state government again.
I'm sorry, we're so short on time, Sean.
Yeah,
are the three seats that the Democrats think they have a chance at?
Three seats they think they have a chance at are seats being vacated by Republicans. So you got Dale Schultz is leaving. They think they've got a chance there. It's a pretty good district for Democrats by the numbers. It could go either way. They want to take the seat being vacated by Mike Ellis. And they want to take the seat being vacated by Joe Lybum. The Ellis and Lybum seats are tougher for them, just, you know, by the numbers. Again, those are seats that have gone, you know, either narrowly Republican in presidential race or strongly Republican, like in the recall race. But
do the Republicans think that those districts are vulnerable?
Not necessarily. I don't know if we have time to play Scott Fitzgerald here real quick. Yeah, here's Scott Fitzgerald.
This cycle in a non-presidential appears to have the makings of a cycle in which Republicans can make gains, probably in the state legislature and in Congress, and certainly very hopeful that Governor Walker will be reelected. So we're pretty upbeat on where we stand right now.
Okay, so he's upbeat in part because it's an off year, as he mentioned, and this is kind of I'm not sure if there's a bigger factor that shapes the way Wisconsin is run than just the year in which people run. I mean, if it's a presidential election, Democrats have a very good shot. Turnout's much higher in Democratic areas like Milwaukee. And so you have, there's a reason that Wisconsin has supported the Democrat cycle after cycle in presidential campaigns. And, you know, they've had some wave elections in presidential campaigns. In off years, in gubernatorial years, turnout's down a little bit, but those reliable Republican voters in Republican districts will come out. And so there's, you know, a good reason for Scott Fitzgerald to point yeah. to that. And so they think they, you know, in those districts, the Schultz seat, Fitzgerald says, you know, that is one that could go either way by the numbers, but they feel pretty good. They've got Howard Markline, a sitting assemblyman, running there.
Well, we have just a minute to go. The assembly, there's no way the assembly is going to change control from Republican to Democrat, right?
It's pretty unlikely, yeah. But I'd say that you're seeing a little bit different strategy from Assembly Democrats this year. Instead of fielding candidates in every office and saying, you know, we're gonna get them all, they're more focused on about a dozen targets where Democrats have won before, and in particular, some open seats where Democrats have won before. So
they'd only have to win a dozen seats to take.
Let's see, where are they? I think they, a dozen seats would do it for them, but that'd be a tall order.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they're focused on seats that they think are winnable.
Yeah.
Republicans think they could pick off a few more.
All right. So next week the GAB settles this, certifies them all.
Yeah, and we'll know the ballot for sure.
We'll know the ballot.
Week.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We'll talk about the Democratic Convention after the news.